You are listening to Black Books Live. I'm your host, Jason Harris, along with my co-host, Cher J. And today we are super excited to be presenting the master of mother wit, J. California Cooper. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you all for tuning in to Black Books Live. I'm your host, Jason Harris, with my co-host, Cher J. Today, we are featuring the work of yet another living master, award-winning playwright and novelist, J. California Cooper. After gaining notoriety as a playwright, Cooper turned her attention to novels and short stories. She has since published 13 books, including A Piece of Mind, Homemade Love, which was awarded the 1989 American Book Award, Some Soul to Keep, In Search of Satisfaction, and her latest, Life is Short but Wide, published in 2009. Cooper is known for her witty, conversational style that draws readers into the world of her characters, with her stories often centering on women dealing with the vicissitudes of life as told by a folksy narrator. Today we are presenting excerpts of The Lost and the Found from Cooper's short story collection, The Future Has a Past. Without further ado, Black Books Live proudly presents J. California Cooper's The Future Has a Past.
You are listening to Black Books Live.
My legs were tired of standing still in one place. I knew I needed to do a few more things in the kitchen before I left, so I was just turning to go back there when another lady came in. Well, you know me by now, so you know I waited to see who it was. Well, you could have knocked me over with a dead leaf. It was Irene. It was taking her a minute for her eyes to adjust from the light outside so she could see in here, but I could see good. And just then, Cool spoke up. I wish the broad on the phone would come on in. I got things to do. I can't wait around all day. Joe could see behind Cool the entryway. He said, maybe this is the lady. Cool turned around to see, and he was shocked to see Irene too. Irene, what you doing here? She could see better then, and she was looking at Cool. I come to talk to you, Cool. You could hear the annoyance in Cool's voice when he said, well, it sure could have waited till I got out to the house to see you. I don't like you coming down here. Looking back at Tan and Joe, he moved from his place to the bar to try to steer Irene to the doorway outside. My legs were sure ready to stand a little longer now. Cool had his hands on Irene's arm, but she pulled gently away. Her voice was tired and strained. No anger in it. She even looked a little sad. No, it couldn't wait. I tried to wait, but it's been a month now, and this just can't wait any longer because I didn't want you coming over and being surprised. Cool looked over his shoulder at Joe and Tan again. They were looking right at him and Irene. He took Irene's arms again, saying, well, let's go. I'll take you to the bus stop and we could talk while you wait for your bus. Then her words must have sunk in, and he asked, surprise? About what? He was so nervous, he didn't wait for an answer. He turned back to Joe. What I owe you, Joe? But Irene gently removed his hands from her body and moved away deeper into the club. I have a way home. No, we can talk here, Cool. Cool snapped his head around to face her, astonishment on his face. No? What you mean, no? Are you telling me what to do? Woman, I'm your man. Don't question me. He glanced over his shoulder to see if Joe had heard that. Irene passed on around Cool and sat down at one of the tables, saying, let's sit at this table. Cool was utterly, I always wanted to say that word, but I never had no occasion, utterly surprised. What's wrong with you, girl? Then he changed his tactic, sat down and said, well, all right, but only for a minute. I ain't got much time. I got a little job I gotta do. Irene smiled a tired little smile and looked a little amused as she said, I think I'll have a drink, Joe. Something pretty. Cool spoke, I ain't got much money, Irene. You know that. But that did not faze Irene. She said, looking at Joe, well then, I'll pay for it. Something pretty, please, Joe. A Tom Collins. Cool glanced at Joe and quickly said, I pay for it. Hey, Joe, bring the little woman a drink. Turning back to Irene, he asked her, where you get money for a drink? And what kind of ride you got? Who brought you here? She looked at Cool for a moment and started to answer, but didn't get to answer because just then, Joe came with a pretty red and yellow drink with a colorful straw in it. Joe had a big welcoming smile as he said, well, it's little Miss Tatum. I haven't seen you since you was going to high school. How you doing? Cool answered for her. She doing just fine. What kind of drink is that, Joe? What you put in it? She don't need no hard liquor. Joe cocked his head at Cool and smiled. It's just a nice, cool, glorified Tom Collins with some gin in it. Irene smiled and said, thank you, Joe. This will do just fine. Cool didn't smile. With a glorified price, I bet. Joe was about to answer when another person walked in, a man. When I see that it is Mr. Summer, I am not surprised, because I figured he was the one with the ride. Joe turns right away to Mr. Summer with a smile, saying, afternoon, Mr. Summer. How you doing, sir? Have a seat. What can I bring you? Mr. Summer took a seat at the table near Irene's and sat down, saying as he smiled, I'll have a Tom Collins, Joe. How are you and your family? Joe was already on his way back to the bar. Fine, Mr. Summer, fine. Tom Collins, coming right up. Cool didn't pay Mr. Summer much notice. He was talking to Irene again as she sipped her drink. He tried to speak real low so no one could hear. What is it, Irene? Now I ain't got no money. I just gave you $20 last time I saw you, and it wasn't no month neither. Irene just sipped and slightly smiled. $10. Joe waved his hand in the air. Was it $10? Well, 3 months ago. Well, I still ain't got no more today. Now Irene waved her hand in the air. I didn't come for money, Cool. Cool was taken aback. Agitated. Well, what is it then? My son sick? All during this time, Joe was serving Mr. Summer his drink and exchanging a few more words with him. Cool paid them no mind, just kept talking to Irene as low as he could keep his voice. If my son's sick, what you doing out here at a bar? You ought to be home with them or at work, not out here in no bar. Irene set her glass down. The boys aren't sick, Cool. Cool leaned back in his chair, satisfied as a boss again. Well, okay. I want you to take real good care of my sons, Irene. I don't want them sick. Everything is all right, Cool. I won't let my boys get sick. Cool sounded confused. Well, what you doing coming to talk to me for? You're supposed to wait till I get out there to see you. I had to talk to you today. I didn't know when I'd see you, so... And every time I try to talk to you, you're running, so you don't have time to listen. You eat, sometimes hand me a dollar or two, and then you run out the door. It's been that way a long time, Cool, since I didn't even know when I'd see you. Well, Cool's voice came a little louder, and I was glad because I was straining my ears. Now, Irene, don't give me no speech about no marriage. I told you I'm gonna marry you someday, but not now. I'm not ready to come out there in the country where you live and waste my life. I gotta get ahead while I'm young and do something big for my sons. But when I gets bothered like this, you breaks my stride. I got a big business deal. Irene cut him off. Cool, I want. Cool cut her off. Irene, don't make me mad. I don't want to get married now. I have my life to live. Now you choose your way, and I'll choose my way. I noticed he checked her face quickly to see if his psychology was working. Irene was getting exasperated. All right, cool. Cool, stop a minute. Give me a chance to talk. Okay, but whatever it is, I ain't got much time right now. And don't complain about me running all the time. A man born to go running. That's what he is, a man. A woman was born to stay home and tend the house and his sons. Irene stood up to leave, saying, I just thought it would be fair to talk to you. If you're busy, he grabbed her sleeve and pulled her back down. You done come this far, go ahead and talk, because I ain't planning on coming out there for a bit. I got a new job I'm trying to do. Stop being stupid. Just keep your voice down. I don't like people knowing my business. Hurry up and talk. But remember, I don't like my woman coming to no place like this. Don't come again. If it takes me a year to get out there, just wait. You know I'm coming. Sometime. I think everybody was trying to hear what they were saying because everybody almost jumped when Irene hit the table with her fist. It was her first sign of any emotion. She hit that table and said, "Then be quiet." Cool was so surprised, his mouth dropped open and he hushed. Now, she sat back in her chair and continued quietly. I think I did everything I could to give our love a chance. Cool spoke quieter too. Irene, don't worry. I'm satisfied with you. You don't need to do nothing else. Just stay out there in the country in that house and keep going to work. She ignored his words and kept speaking. We were happy. A lot when we first started all those years ago. Leastways, we laughed a lot. But I've been unhappy a lot with you. Cool looked around to see who was hearing all this, but she kept talking like she didn't care who heard her. And I can tell you this, everybody's ears were 10 feet wide. And Cool, that don't make me mean and mad at life or you anymore. Cool patted her hand. Irene, that's good. That's good. But Irene wasn't through. But I believe in people being happy, if they can, in life. That's why I never really bothered you. Cool smiled and nodded his head, saying, "That's good. That's good." Irene continued, "But now I want to be happy all the time I can." Cool pat her hand again. "Things gonna get better, Irene." Irene waved that away, easy like, "I'm not getting any younger. And you always told me to live my life because you was living yours." Cool leaned back and laughed softly. "And someday they gonna come together. Get it? Come together." Irene didn't laugh, nor frown, nor smile. She just kept talking. "I know there are gentle, nice, kind men in the world. Men who give love to their women. I want to be loved. I'll be out there in a few days, Irene. Be cool." Irene just let his words fly out in space. She kept talking. "Men who love their children, their family. I want somebody, grown up, mature. Somebody who cares about me and our sons. You know, I'm learning a lot from my sons. And I hope I'm teaching them something about life and women and love. You're a good mother, Irene, but you got to stay home to be a good mother. And don't you worry about my boys and what they need to know about women. I'm going to teach them everything they need to know. They going to be men when I get through with them boys." Irene looked down at her hands and smiled. "I want them to be tender and affectionate like their father." Cool's scowl changed to a prideful look of pleasure. If he had been standing up, he would have strutted and preened his wings. "Why, sure," he granted. Irene looked at him earnestly. "It's going to be very important to them. See, I've learned that it's okay to kiss somebody's ass, but only if that ass belongs to you. See, Cool, some people can love, and some people can't. Those that can't are always looking for some love to stuff into their own heads and pockets out from other people's hearts. While those who can, love is always given, always given."
You are listening to Black Books Live.
She shook her head slowly and sadly. Then just a sudden, her face brightened up. "But when you get two givers together, Lord, you really got something. What you been reading, Irene? I told you stop reading that trash." "Cool. A lot of things start with a mother's love and a father's love." Cool laughed, happy to be on the comfortable ground again. "I love my sons." Irene was looking past Cool into her thoughts. She was speaking out loud. "That's where you have to learn to love first sometime." She looked straight at Cool then. "For a long time, I thought I loved you. People telling me they love me, while all the while I be telling you I love you. They showed me their love, while I showed you my love, and the people who love me suffer." Cool's laughter had long faded. His face and voice changed. "You been messing around on me, Irene?" "Cool, I needed to see you." She stopped to take a long swallow from her drink. "You been in my house twice this month." Cool tried to sound angry. "I know, and you wasn't home. Where were you? I figured you was in church, 'cause it was late." Irene took a sip of her drink and said, "I was. We were going to wait until you came by again, but since I knew you were coming again sometime, we thought I'd better tell you before you did. I've moved away. I don't live there anymore." She smiled and took another sip of her drink. "I have a marriage now, Cool. I'd like to fell off of my own legs. Yes, ma'am." Cool, annoyed again, didn't seem to understand. "Now, Irene, I just got through telling you that you move and didn't tell me where? And what you mean you married? I keep trying to tell you I ain't ready to get married." She softly interrupted him by holding her hand up. "Not to you, Cool, to someone else." Cool stood up. Mr. Summer did too. Cool knocked over his chair and asked, "Woman, are you crazy?" Irene stayed calm, bless her little brave heart. She said just as calm as could be, "Now don't get excited, Cool, and we can talk. Otherwise, I have to leave." Cool remembered the other folks in the bar and glanced around quickly. He pulled his chair back up and sat right down in it, leaning toward Irene urgent-like. Mr. Summers sat back down also. Cool was looking angry, not so cool. He said, "You ain't going nowhere." Irene's face was just as calm and bright. She still wasn't scared. "No, that's where I've been, and I ain't going there no more. Now I got some things to do. Let's finish this out." Cool's eyes was all bucked when he said, "You damn right. We gonna finish this out. Who you been listening to? Who been lying to you? I ain't got to tell you. You know who your man is. You love me. All this shit you talking." Irene held her hand up again, calmly. "Now, let me talk. We've never had much time to talk. When you come to see me, talking ain't much on your mind."
"Well, who's the fault in that? You. You don't hardly let me touch you no more. You always sick or busy or the boys need something. Or you gotta go to your mama's house for something. It ain't my fault we don't talk or nothing. Don't lay that on me."
Irene turned her face away from all them words and held up her hand again. When she turned back to cool, she said, "If we did talk, it was just games, your games, lying games. You never took the time to think about if what you gave me was what I needed and wanted, or what I just took from you. Well, you was happy, and you loved me. I was not happy. And I don't love you anymore. Not for a long time. Life with you ain't life." Cool's face got ugly, and he raised his voice in anger and indignation. "Well, in them nights when you used to let me be alone with you, you sure did seem to be enjoying yourself." For some reason, nothing Cool said seemed to make Irene lose her cool. "Oh, Cool, the first few years, there were times we would enjoy each other." She placed her hand over one of his. "But in the good times, I was burdened with all the things I had to try to understand." She moved her hand away from his, and his hand lay on the table, looking alone and forlorn. Cool Musk couldn't think of what to say because he asked a foolish question defensively. "What do you have to try to understand?" "Oh, Cool, you are way past me. You have your own dreams." "You got that right. I know." Then he must have remembered. "What is all this about marriage? What you talking about? Who did you meet that would marry you?" He leaned back in his chair, getting his manhood back. "And take care of my kids, my sons?" As cool as he could be, she said, "Nobody." In this joy, Cool laughed and said, "That's what I thought. Well, then." Irene held that hand up again. "Cool, let me talk and try not to interrupt me. This is not easy for me." Cool stopped laughing abruptly and said, "Don't say nothing you'd be sorry for, because I might not come to see you for another few weeks." Irene took another big swallow of her drink and a deep breath. Cool, somehow feeling better, thinking he's in control again, said, "Come on now, have your say, then I gotta go. You better get on home with my sons and stop talking all this mess." Irene started talking out slow as she moved one of her fingers through the water drops on the table. "You know, I go to church regular because that is the place I choose to find my wisdom, find my way to live by. And for years I've been praying for what I want, for what every woman wants, I think." Tan had been listening without seeming to, but now she turned her ear around closer. Cool interrupted again. "Let's talk about this marriage you're talking about, 'cause..." Irene interrupted him back, saying, "What I'm saying is you are not enough for me." Cool right away looked over at Tan and Joe. Irene looked down at her lap, kind of in a space with her thoughts. Even her voice seemed to come out from a distance. "Oh, I was lonely, so lonely. Many times I looked into that old crack mirror in my room and said to myself what a fool I was. So many things I wanted to do with you before the children and even after the children." Then she raised her head to look at Cool. "I was young. I am young. And there were so many times I wanted to make love in the middle of the night or early in the morning or even in the afternoon, outside on the grass, in the rain, by a creek, in a tree. Not just sex, Cool, love. But you wasn't there. You were with me when you wanted to be, according to your feelings, not when I needed you, according to mine." All I could say was, as my heart clapped in my breast for her. Cool looked confused. Well, he wasn't used to thinking hard about the right thing, so all he said was, "Well," like he was trying to say something smart back. But Irene was not through doing her own thinking. "Sometimes when you came to my house, you were tired. You came where I was so you could sleep or eat. And when you wake up, you'd be on your way out. Of all the things, Cool asked, what that got to do with getting married?" Still looking in Cool's face, she answered, "It's the reason I found somebody else. I found what real love is. You always ran your life according to your own music. Now I can live my life according to the music I hear and feel. my own music. I can even touch it. Well, that cool jumped up again, upsetting his chair again, and his lucky hat fell off. Mr. Summers stood up too. Joe looked a little worried, and I know he was thinking of that gun Cool had in his pocket. But Cool looked over at Joe, then reached down for his chair and tried to look nonchalant or something as he sat back down, forgetting his lucky hat. But his voice forgot to sound easy when he asked in a low voice as his anger would let him use. Somebody else? What you mean? You been giving my... He looked at Joe again, then he had to ask her anyway. You been giving my stuff away, Irene? Not yours, Cool. Mine. I'm the one who was born with it. Cool scrunched his chair closer. To who? When? Up came Irene's hand again. If you're quiet, I'll tell you. If you're not, I'll go. Cool's voice was low and sinister when he said, Baby, you ain't going nowhere. Irene leaned back in her chair and looked at Cool thoughtfully. Cool, I know I ain't so good looking, and I know fellas like the good looking kind. But I can't worry about that because I'm young, and I got a lot of feelings that I left up to you to satisfy for a long time, but you didn't satisfy them. I don't feel like sleeping around. So while I was doing housework for some of the church members, I met someone else. Cool sneered. The preacher? Irene smiled and looked at her hands as she answered, No, but a very nice gentleman who was very kind to me. He helped me in so many little ways and big ways too. He was patient with me, treated me like I was somebody special. And all the time, it was really just love he was showing me. Cool pointed his finger in her face as he said with a sneer, Oh, hell, they all do that to get what they want. You're just a fool to go for that mess. Patient? Hell yeah, he was patient, trying to steal my woman on the sly. Then he changed his tactic. He leaned in close on Irene's face. She didn't move. She just looked straight into his eyes. In a low, husky, soft, mannish voice, he said, Irene, baby, you know what we have. We got love. True love. You know ain't nobody like me for you, but me. We together, baby. Together. We got babies. Together. My sons. Listen to me. We a family. You got my sons, baby. You a fool to go for whatever he laying on your mind. He leaned back in his chair, satisfied that he had done a good job on his woman. Irene looked at Mr. Summer, at least it looked like she did to me, as she said, I don't think he's fooling me. And I know he's patient, because I know he wants his family together, and he didn't press on me when I had the first baby because he knew I still had some feelings for you. And he still didn't change. After the second baby, he still treats me in every good way, and it's been 7 years now. Cool stood up, and the chair went over. 7 years? You've been going with me more than that? You've been fooling around with somebody else for 7 years? I ought to kick your ass. Mr. Summers stood up, and Joe come from round the bar, heading for Irene's table. Joe told Cool, Okay, Cool, don't want no mess in my club. Cool raised his hand for Joe to stop. Ain't no mess, man. This bitch here, then Mr. Summers said in his mannish voice, Watch your language, boy. Cool turned to Mr. Summers saying, Sit down, old man. This is my business. I ain't gonna hurt her, not now anyway. Cool turned his back and waved Mr. Summer away, grabbed his chair and sat back down, smashing his lucky hat under his chair, at the table where Irene waited, patiently. Joe slowly went behind the bar. He looked back at Cool a couple of times. I know he was thinking about that gun. And it's a wonder he didn't stumble over Tan-Tan's eyes, 'cause they were stuck all the way out to Cool's table.
You are listening to Black Books Live.
Cool took out a handkerchief and wiped his face as Irene asked him, Cool, how many women have you had in 6 years? 1 year even. He was breathing hard when he answered, That's different. I'm a man. But why you do this to me? Me! Irene's eyes slid over to Mr. Summer just as easy, and she almost smiled at him. But I guess it wasn't the time just then. But in a voice that was making love to whoever she was talking about, she said, Because he showed me what it felt like to be a woman. To give Valentine cards and boxes of candy, birthday presents, soft underwear, and nightgowns we could enjoy together. Somebody to rub you to sleep. To Cool broke her reverie in a high voice I hadn't heard before. Incredulous. You been sleeping with him? Irene must didn't hear him because she smiled a dreamy way as she said, Somebody who make love to you like you're both there. Thinks of you for no reason at all and stops by to see if there's anything he can do for you. She laughed lightly as she said, Buys you perfume, not because you need it, but because he knows you like it. Or pretty toilet paper even, not because you need it, but because he knows you use it. Makes you feel like you both something, not just him being something. Cool suddenly grinned, said, Who is he? Who is the sucker? The somebody else's woman stealer. Tell me who he is, Irene, because I'm going to tell him who I am. Irene returned her gaze to Cool. He knows about you. I told him about you a long time ago. How I wish you and me would get married a long time ago before the babies and have a life together. After the first baby, I thought maybe I wanted that. Thought I could wait. Wait till you had your run out. Cool leaned back satisfied, and you could see him feeling better as he glanced to see if Joe and Tan had heard those last words. What the fools say to that? Irene looked at Mr. Summer again. He never said one word about us, no matter what I said. I liked him for that. In fact, Cool, over the years, he's been there when the kids were sick, when he had to do something, or just whatever came up about our sons. So that I piled up so much liking for him that it turned into love. Kind of good and strong and easy without me even realizing it. Cool came forward in his chair again, and the high voice came from him in disbelief. You love him? Irene nodded and shook her head all at the same time and grinned. I love him. Very, very. Very, very much. There was a moment of silence as Cool looked at Irene. Then he asked, You think you love him 'cause I ain't been around too much. But I'm gonna be. Anyway, what you gonna tell my kids, my sons? Irene looked at Cool and smiled as she said, I don't have to tell my sons anything, Cool. Cool was silent a moment as he looked at her, his face all frowned up. Then he said, I want them to know damn well who their father is. Irene looked at Cool for a moment. Then her gaze passed to Mr. Summer. They've always known who their father is. Their father knows them, and they know their father. It's my fault they've been apart. What you mean, your fault? Now Irene sat up straight in her chair, looked into Cool's eyes, and placed her hand over one of his. Cool, I never told you those were your children, your sons. You just thought they were, because you thought you were the only man in my life. If you really look at them, they don't even look like you. You see what you want to see. At the time I had our first son, I should have told you then, but I knew what kind of life you were living. So I didn't feel like I was cheating on you any more than you thought you were cheating on me. And I just didn't know if I still wanted to marry you or not. And their father told me to wait until I was sure I wanted what I wanted to do with my life. 'Cause he could still love them and do for them whether you knew it or not. I waited years until I knew you were entirely out of my mind. Cool stood up, looking like he was going out of his mind, child. Yes, sir, he was almost crying. Least his voice was when he was shouting at Irene. Woman, Irene, don't you shit on my life. Don't you take everything good from my life and leave the shit. Irene started to stand, but then changed her mind and remained calmly in her chair. But we aren't your life, Cool. I could tell she was a little scared now, but she was still trying to be kind. She went on talking in an easy kind of voice. She never did holler. Your life is out here where the shit is. You brought the shit into our lives. I didn't. You didn't even know my sons knew who their father was because you never been close to them. Hugging and kissing is fine for a quick minute, but it does not put clothes on a child's back or food in a child's stomach, or stand over them all night when they are sick or hurt, or take them to the doctor or a dentist, or even to school. She slowly shook her head and said, we have a whole life apart from you, and you didn't even think enough of us to look and see it. Mr. Summer was standing again, and Joe was coming back from around the bar. Cool shouted at Irene, you lying! Why you take my money? Irene just shook her head slowly. Because I'd let you take my body at one time, and I was still feeding you years later. You lying about my kids. Them's my sons. No, I'm not lying, Cool, as God is my witness. Them's my kids, Irene, my sons. Shaking her head sadly, she repeated, hard on each and every word, no, they are not your sons. They are my husband's children, his sons, our sons. They carry his name on their birth certificates. He was there when we made them, and he was there when I gave birth to them. Irene took a deep breath and looked at Mr. Summer, then finished speaking to Cool. It was more than a year since we made love before my second son was born. I can tell you this, and it's a fact. That woman was telling the truth. Yes, sirree, ma'am. And I could tell by the look on Cool's face, he couldn't remember when he had last made sex with her because he'd been making sex with so many other women all his grown life. Even went out of town for him when he was out of them in town. Cool lunged at Irene and struck her. Mr. Summer was right around that table like lightning flash, and Joe was right there after, holding on to Cool, who was so mad that slobber was spraying from his mouth as he screamed out at Irene, who he thought was destroying his life, and now his pride in front of his friends. He shouted, don't you do this to me! Don't you do this to me! Mr. Summer was lifting Irene up, brushing her off and talking low to her while Joe held Cool. But she still stood up to Cool. She didn't holler back at him. That woman sure got patience. Irene stepped back from the table as Mr. Summer picked up her chair and said to Cool, I didn't do nothing to you, Cool. You always did everything to yourself. I have done told you to go now, so I got to go. Cool is so angry, he is almost crying. You ain't going now. You done come in here and strip me of everything in my life. Irene had started away from that table, but now she turned her back, and her voice had a little anger in it this time. Everything in your life? You never been in our life. We wasn't nothing to you. The anger was leaving Cool's voice, and a little pleading was coming in as he said, yes, you was. Yes, you was. I was going to spend my old age with you and them kids, Irene. Irene. In a sad little voice, Irene said, but they wouldn't be kids anymore, and I wouldn't be young anymore. The love wouldn't be the same because it's already gone from me to somebody else. Our dreams, if we had any, would be died out or lost at some woman's place where you had laid them down and forgot them. Or you'd probably be sick or wore out through living. I want to live now. Mr. Summer took Irene's arm and she turned again to leave and then turned back to Cool and said, "Take care of yourself, Cool." Cool lunged for Irene again, and when Mr. Summer tried to pull her out of the way so he can step in front of her, Irene stumbled and fell to her knees. Cool raised his fist to strike her. Joe reached for his arm, and Mr. Summer pulled out a gun and put it to Cool's head. "Jesus," and said, "Don't hit her again, man." Mr. Summer didn't seem mad, and he didn't raise his voice, but in a low, sure, serious voice, he said, "I mean what I said. Don't put your hands on my wife ever again in your life." Cool heard him and backed up a bit, but he was hysterical, I guess. He could only see Irene. He screamed at her, "You bitch! You must have had everybody laughing at me, whoring around calling the house cleaning. You don't know who the daddy of them bastards of yours is." Mr. Summer steps between Irene, who looks frightened and shocked, and Cool. Cool finally registered Mr. Summer in his mind. I don't think he's seen the gun good. He says to Mr. Summer, "Get the hell away from here, man. I'm talking to my woman." Mr. Summer holds the gun closer to Cool's head and answers, "You are talking to my wife. I'm not going to let her be called another bitch out of your mouth, or I will put something in your mouth to stop it." Cool saw the gun then. He steps back, disbelieving, and says to Irene, "Your wife?" Then he laughs at her, but he don't say bitch. "You married this old man?" Irene answered right up, "Yes. The good Lord blessed me and my heart with a real man." Mr. Summer cocks his gun, and even all that noise, we all heard it. "Cool too," Mr. Summer said. "You're going to have to catch up with your head first, because if you make one more move to hurt my wife, you're going to be looking up at yourself from the floor through a hole in your head." Mr. Summer kept the gun cocked and kept talking. "You need to pray that way when you get my age. In a few years, you do as well as I've done. I have the woman I love and my sons." Then he turned to Irene and said, "Come on, Irene. Let's go get our sons and go where there's peace." And as they begin to leave, Cool hollers after Irene. "I marry you now, Irene." He reaches arms out to her, still shouting, "Tomorrow morning. Today, I'll marry you right now. Irene, please, don't take my sons." Mr. Summer has put his gun away, but he turns back to say to Cool, "We don't have to take our sons because they're already at home at their father's house. You need to understand, they are not your sons." Before they get completely out of the door, Cool shouts at Mr. Summer, "Take her then, old man. I had her first." Mr. Summer stops and smiles a little and he says, "That's right. You did. But you didn't have the best of her. You didn't have sense enough to know how to get it. You didn't have sense enough to hold on to her. You maybe could have had my sons too. And I'm glad you didn't have enough sense for that either. It was really all your choice for the first year or so. But all that is past. It's history now." Then he went on out the door to his wife, Mrs. Irene Summer, mother, wife, and property owner. Now.
You are listening to Black Books Live.
Thank you all for tuning into Black Books Live. We hope that this podcast inspires you to seek out the work of the authors we feature. On our website, there are links to titles from J. California Cooper's amazing bibliography that you can purchase. As always, we thank you, our community, for your continued support. Black Books Live is dedicated to highlighting our best for the world to hear. That means you, our listeners, giving us feedback about our webcast. Please visit our website, www.blackbookslive.com, and click on the contact page and send us a note. Stay tuned for our next episode as we feature the short fiction of one of the fathers of the Black Arts Movement, an elder who has recently joined the ancestors, the transcendent Amiri Baraka. I am Jason Harris.
I am Cher J.
And we look forward to sharing with you again. Until then, onward and upward.